this sugya and the Gemara itself, and then we will back and deal with Tosos. There are a lot of difficulties in this Gemara still unresolved. Not at the end so much. So who would like to read for me? Moshe, you're volunteering to read. Oh, okay.
Where
you want to start reading from? You're volunteering. You don't even know what you're volunteering for. It's like Nasa Venishma all over again. Okay. So we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we just read. We read down to Ma'ika LeMeimer Ella Amar Yaakov Ben Har Pekod. That's the eighth line or so.
Ella Amar Rav Yaakov Ben Har Pekod Mishmei Drava Mehacha. Imi Yaklum Bisa.
What's Mehacha?
From this pasuk. From here.
Pretend I know nothing. What does it mean, Mehacha?
We learn out that, what's it called?
Firstly, I'm just going to make a comment. You feel free to speak that way, but just know that when you walk out in other circles or speak in public, learn out is not a word. It's a Yiddishism. The word we derive. What? It's not English, proper English. It's a Yiddishism. So I said when you go and speak in a public context, there's other people, so you need to know. Okay, I just want to also correct, make a qualification to what I said, I don't know how long ago, about Tana Rabbanon, the correct person to whom it should be attributed, actually Professor Lieberman, who said that, you know, when one of the students read that way, he said, when you know as much as I do, you can read it that way. Until then, you read it like they read it in the Beis Medrash. And there was a different quote from Dr. Bernstein's father, but I forget what it was. So as I told Professor Bernstein, I suspicion that the person who said that if you read it as Tana Rabbanon, you're Rabbi Gaiva, was probably him. So who said that to me? Okay, not that I said that to us, to my class. So anyway, I just wanted to correct the attribution there. So, but anyway, you can say that way. You can say it that way, but be aware that is not English. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is where we
learn out what?
We learn out that you can have one hasra. You can have hasra for the chamor thing, and it applies for also the smaller thing.
No, with a capital N and a capital O. Adin.
Which mehacha are we talking about? No, whose? I don't know what it means.
Rav Yaakov min har pekod, mishmei derava.
So that we can learn that chovel v'chaveru is a unique case in that your mishayim vein aloka from here.
I don't like that formulation. You learn that by chovel, when there's a possibility of malchus and mammon, you pay. I don't want to. There's nothing about it that makes it a unique case. Right? No, it might be. It happens to be. No argument there, but there's no indication in the presentation that you couldn't then turn around and make a bein off. We don't, for whatever the reason is. But the bottom line is, it's not that we learn from this that's a unique case. We learn the din that by chovel b'chaveru, when there could be malchus and there could be mammon, that you could pay instead of giving malchus, despite the fact that, period. This is despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds generally that lo kaveinu mishalim. So the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yochanan also held up by chovel. You're mishalim v'eino loka when it's a choice of the two. And the question is, how do we know? So the Gemara originally on Lamed Beis Amid Beis presented a drasha of Ken Yinos and Bo, just like the Yad B'Yad of Edom Zomim. So now Rabbi Lazar said that you don't need that drasha of Edom Zomim, because there's a reason why they don't get the Malkus in that case. And now Roshe Shabri, the Rav Idi, and Rav Yaakov Nahar Pekod Mishrei Derava are each trying to explain why you don't need the drasha, special drasha, by Hovel. Not that you learn it from Ken Yinos and Bo, Davarni Tamiyad Liad, but rather from a different case that the Torah happens to give, which happens to Umal Chavala, and the din is that you pay and you don't get Malkus. And now, how do we learn that? From the following. Mehacha. Im.
Im Yakum Vizalech Bachutz.
Okay, what happened, just in all fairness, what does the pasuk say before this? Anyone know the previous pasuk?
He hits him with an eben or a grove.
You leave me out a very important part, which may not seem very... Yes, that's a very important point. Why is that so important?
Because the rabbi gets the idea that's coming there.
That's amazing.
Or
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure. Well, no, that's what I want to hear. Because the Gemara's Maskana is going to be maybe it's B'shogeg. So, how do you have a Chi Yinatsuan Hashim Nag Fui Sharav Yatsi Ladev Eloi Yason? I'm sorry, Chi Yinatsuan Hashim. No, no. V'chi rivun anoshim. That can't get it from there. Maybe if another. V'chi rivun anoshim. V'hi ka ish es re'ehu be'even ove grof. V'lo yamus v'nafal le'mishkav.
He
wasn't trying to kill him.
What kind of reeve are they having? Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, now you have everything upside down. Probably because you didn't read the Tosos, Dilma b'shogeg, when you came to Galus. Possibly because I didn't put it on the Mar Mekomos. And even if you had done the first part, which is the more obvious question, the second part is the more interesting question. And if you got bogged down in the first part, you'd never see the really interesting second half. Tosus is not addressing that question, but Tosus' answer solves that problem. But what you said is upside down. If the Havamin of the Gemara, and even the Maskan of the Gemara, is that you're high of Misa, or you're high of Galus for killing him, so there has to be some type of intent to kill.
You need intent to kill for
Golos?
No,
I'm sorry. Start with the... maybe you didn't say it upside down. Say what you said again.
I think Tosa leaves out whether or not he had the intention to kill him or not. Therefore,
correct. Okay, so you are correct. That's what Tosa will say in the last Teretz, which is the intent wasn't to kill him, the intent was to hurt him. But if you kill him accidentally in trying to hurt him, you are a shogeg legame the misa, you are a mezid legame the chovel. So when the Gemara says in the Maskana, it's going to say b'shogeg, that means on the misa part, not necessarily on the chovel part. There's a reason why Tosas wants to say that. It may not be apparent yet, but there's a better reason, as we just established, why you want to say that when it's shogeg, it can only be on the misa, not on the chovel, because otherwise it's against the pasuk.
But does shogeg on the misa have to do with
Well, no, he didn't. He hurt him. He sent him to a sick bed, and we weren't sure. It was a little touch and go whether he was going to survive or not.
But he did survive.
Oh, so in the end, but if he hadn't survived, what would the din have been?
Okay,
so either Misa or Golos, depending on whether it was, since there was intent, since at the very, in other words, even... Once you downgrade it to killing him b'shogeg, then you have to say that he was hitting him on purpose but didn't intend to kill him. Because otherwise, what do you do with the v'chi yirfun anoshim? It's virtually impossible to say that he's not a mazid of some kind. So when we say... Okay, so that wasn't so obvious to Tosus from the get-go, and the problem that it creates in the second half of Tosus, the two halves of this Tosus, I think, are fundamentally not... connected to one another, other than the fact they both relate to the issue of shogeg. But the question of Tosis is that when you're masik b'shogeg, are you chayef to pay?
Yes.
Yes. How do you know that? Petza tachas patza. Gemara daf chavava mebeis a Mishnah. Mishnah says it in daf chavava me'alf mavakama. How do you know? Petza tachas patza l'rabos nezek, even b'shogeg. But, as the Gemara points out, when you masik someone b'shogeg, b'derach klal, you only pay nezek, you don't pay anything else. And the problem is, in this pasuk, rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. Thus, how can you say that the case here is b'shogeg? B'shogeg, and for galus purposes, no asra, then you wouldn't be chayiv shevis and ripoy. It wouldn't be rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. So that's why Tosus' last second teretz is mezid on the chavala, but shogeg on the misa. Okay, which is what you were saying. So, what's very interesting is that Tosus says that because he's compelled by the question from the Arba Dvarim, not because the pasuk says so. Is there another way to read the pasuk? You could read it. There has to be an element of mezid in there. No. V'chi rivun anoshim. I accidentally hit him.
You're arguing and then you get a little too involved or something.
That's not, again, if we get involved in an argument, Nagar,
yeah,
and then fists start flying, that's not shogeg.
No, I'm saying you start to get a little bit too riled up. You hit him.
That's amazing.
No, you go boom and you punch him. I think these are like Michael Paul Young. I've seen this happen before.
I had a Rebbe who was like that a little bit. He didn't really actually hurt anybody seriously, but you have to be careful because you get very excited. So. That's not the Chiyim Yivor
HaNashim. They are arguing.
Be'evan over a grove, right?
Hit him with one of those things?
Yes, because I just happened to pick up a stone and I get all animated and wacky with the stone. Oops. Come on, let's be serious. So what that is very interesting. I don't know why nobody Tos is not bothered by the fact that it says it in the Pasuk. There has to be mazed. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, why does the Torah say if the guy gets up and survives, then b'nikah makeh, the makeh will be innocent, will be exonerated? Why? You would have thought you need to tell us that, right? So this is the only place in halacha that I am aware of, prison. We don't believe in prison.
What about Sanhedrin?
That's a means of executing him.
The
kippah.
Yeah, the second one too is a means of execution.
Which second one do you mean?
The other one where you feed him over in...
That's kippah for the ritzach or the person who repeatedly violates.
It then says, I just looked this up today because I know as well, that's in the case of he's loka and he loka v'shana. That's why he's putting in the kippah.
By karesis, I think.
Yeah, he's, let's say, a preso or something. And then the next one is if you kill without aiding.
Right.
We give him my the pasuk from the Mishnah.
Lechem tzara mayim lachat.
Yeah. So
you did you? That was the pasuk that I was mixing up with, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's something derayam. It's not the pasuk's not derayam, but something came up there. Yeah. So.
So is that a means of execution, or is that just like?
Ben, prison is not the punishment there. They're both ways of they're ways of killing him, but not killing him.
Or like taking him out of society until he's like
dead. Yeah. Okay.
Meaning no.
Rapidly dead.
Rapidly dead. Is it rapidly dead?
Yes. Yes.
The keepers are means.
What?
The keepers are means.
Yeah, they're both. It's the same idea. We can't kill him because he's not technically Chayim Misa, but we have to get rid of him anyway.
So, what is Lechem?
Tzar and Mayim Lachatz do? I think something similar, probably. I don't know. They're both ways of killing him. There, once again, there you want to say Chotei Niskar. If someone finds up in that situation of Kippah, they might beg Edim to come and be Mechalel Shabbos in front of the Edim and with Hasra and Duaf Al Pikein so they can execute him faster rather than killing him by this means. Okay, so anyway, the...
He wouldn't get part of the other one, would he?
What's that?
Then he'd only have one Kippah and he'd be stuck right now.
Then you'd only have...
Because Mitzvah's Mechapa, right? So it's only...
Why not? It's not. Yeah, why not?
Why not? Because it seemed that you did all of them. Kind of like, yeah, well, you can only be the best one.
I don't think we assume that Misa can be a function. Firstly, Misa is part of the Kapara. I don't think we assume that it can be a Kapara just because you did two Averis that you chai Misa for. If a person's Mechalel Shabbos twice b'meisid, his Misa is only a Kapara on one of them.
Okay.
No. Misa is a general purpose mechaper. Okay. So, prison is the only marker that I'm aware of for prison, actually. And it's not a punishment either. It's just to make sure that he doesn't go anywhere until we know what the story is. Is he chayiv Misa? Is he chayiv Galus? Is he free just to pay money? And we don't have debtor's prison, or we don't have prison as a punishment. If you're a thief, you don't get a punishment to prison. You pay. Yes.
Could your miklah be used as not refuge, but like prison also?
It's not.
You're just risking your own head.
No, it's not clear that it's mutter to leave.
But
you know, I think even if there's no goldam, you're not allowed to leave.
You were hired to go in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rav Mari says.
Yeah, the galus is a kapara. And the rabbi, one might argue the way the Torah and certainly Chazal structure it, that the Goel Adam the Goel Adam is subverted from vengeance to being the police officer to make sure you stay in Ari Miklat. But fundamentally, the mitzvah is Chazal assume that you mechuyev to stay in Golus. Happens to be, if you leave the Goel Adam, there's a mitzvah or a rishus to kill you.
What?
It's machlokus whether it's a mitzvah or a rishus on the part of the Goel Adam if you leave. Yes.
Wait, and it's a mitzvah to kill the guy
because
he left?
Yes. Or it's a reshus in the Goel Adam. The assumption is that shedding of blood, destroying a tzelem elokim, is a heinous act, and even done b'shogeg, certain kinds of shogeg require kapara. So the Torah has greatly restricted the Goel Adam. You stay inside the Eir Miklat, you're safe from him.
So when he kills, he's not chayav.
The Goel Adam?
Yeah.
No. There's an interesting Mishnah Lamel who talks about whether or not the Rutzeach is allowed to turn around and kill the Goel Adam as a Rodef. And not as a Rodef, but as self-defense. Certainly no one else can step in to kill the Goel Adam. The question is, does that person have the right of self-defense? I think the Mishnah Lamel is it's printed in the Hilchos Rutzeach Shemiras Nefesh. Interesting question generally. Yitzi? Do you mean you think about Yirmiyahu Anavi?
Yeah.
That's probably the only place, but I'm not sure you can bring rayas from that.
Also, what about the Kupa, the Kipa?
That's what Schlein was just talking me about. So okay, fine. So the Gemara says now, go ahead. Hechi dami.
Hechi dami.
So if it's a case where they never gave him hasra, the guys are fighting the chirin, they don't give him hasra. So then, why do you lock him up by a mezid? Because you're not going to execute him if the guy dies. Because if the guy dies, he's a rotzeach, but there was no hasra. So idlo asrbe my miktel. Ella
pshita dis dasrbe.
So it must be that they did warn him. They warned him what? Don't hit him. Because if you hit him and you kill him, you're going to be chayav misa. And he says, aval pikein. So that's why we lock him up in the prison to make sure that his friend doesn't die. His friend dies, we're going to judge him and potentially execute him. And umusra ledavar chamur. And thus, even though you didn't kill him, if he survives, in yokum v'saleich bachot samishanto, then v'nikah makeh, but he's got to pay. So the question is, why not give him malchus for striking the fellow? It's the same type of a limud as you had by the ishahara. Okay. So now the Gemara says, except for there, it's a contestable point because some would say that even if he killed the ishahara, he doesn't get misa, only pays mammon, and therefore there's no reason to assume there had to have been malchus for that din. They didn't have to be Asra. Whereas here, it's very clear that if he kills him, he gets put to death. Hence, Vidi A, because it was Niskari in the Harag as Chavero, the Harag as Chavero. And that's why Vinikah Makeh, we stick him in jail. And if his friend dies, he will be put to death. Okay. So despite the fact that you were Chovah b'Chavero, the Torah says you pay Sheves and Ripui. So what do you see? Even though there was Hasra, and even though Mesfila Davachama have a Mesfila Davachal, and even though by right you should have been able to get Malkus, but because the Torah says, Rakshiv Toyitem Rapar Yopeh, you see that by Chova B'Chavera, when there's potential both for Malkus because of El Yosef, and Mamon because you did Nezek, whatever the various things are, so you see that Mishalim Fe'in Odloke. That's what the Gemara's Limud is.
Maskipla Rabashi.
Dilma lo habi. This is now the shock of entire right now is the exact same thing as the previous Gemara.
Is he just copy basically?
Why? Yeah, why are they doing this? It's a new proof.
What's that? Right. The truth is, you know, the...
which one was original?
You know, we don't... my suspicion is... you have one of two possibilities. Either in a later base medrash, remember these things are not happening probably next to one another. I don't know, I didn't check. actually, Rav Yaakov and Harpa Kobra Shmei the Rava could have been someone Rav Ashi was talking to. I don't know who Rav Shisha Brei the Ravidi is, I didn't check. But it's possible that this is something that just comes up later in the base medrash. They're discussing the issue, and they repeat the Shach V'Tayr on both. Or it could be that the Mesadr puts it on both because it's the same... two suggestions made by early Amoraim, and the exact same kasha, which was asked by one or the other, was asked here. I don't know that this, assuming that it was only asked once, that's being duplicated, I don't...
you can't determine which one is original.
I don't think there's any way to determine which one is original. Okay. So, maskla for Vashi, mimai, I'm sorry, imtim salomar.
Imtim salomar, habe, mimai dimita chamura, dilamalkos chamur, yamarav, ilmale,
okay. So, Amar Lei. Sama Bray.
Rav Sama Bray de Ravasi, the Ravashi. Ramrila Rav Sama Bray de Ravashi, the Ravashi. Veloshani Lecha.
I would bet that even if it was Versama Bray de Ravashi de Ravashi, he was not Ravashi's son. Because he wouldn't have said Lo Shani Lach. He would have said Lo Shani Lamar. Or something like that, in all probability. What's that? Rochia Bray de Ravashi, who's a Talmud of Rav, I think. They can. He's just asking, do we know of one? And I'm telling you, there is at least one other one. Anyway, go ahead.
Maskif la Rav Mari, mimai dimavizid, v'nika miktala, dilma b'shoge v'nika migalus.
Okay. So the truth is, you don't have a raya. And it's not a raya, because maybe the pasuk is talking about a case of shogeg. Shogeg, as we'll say for the moment, the second teretz of Tosos, Shogeg on the Misa, Mezid on the Chavala, and because of the Chamisha Dvarim, and because the Pasuk says so. And therefore, since it's only a Shogeg on the Misa, it's very possible that there was no Hasra. Because even if you're not given Hasra, you still go to Galus. You still go to Galus. You don't require... Galus is a Kapara fundamentally Bidei Shemayim. And therefore... therefore, you have the fact that maybe the reason why you don't get Malkus in this case is not because when there's Malkus and Mammon, you're Mishalim, but rather because there's no possibility for Malkus because there was no Hasra. And certainly, we could envision the possibility, like Rabbi Yochanan, that when there is no capacity, no ability to get Malkus for technical reasons, then we apply the other punishment that might be there, namely of Mammon. Moshe?
So we tie him down to see if we have to take him to...
We put him in a holding cell, yeah.
Yeah, like, so isn't he supposed to, like, have to run off to near Miklat? Isn't, like, us tying him down, like, kind of impending him, or are we, like, taking him to jail?
He runs to near Miklat once we finish the Gemara anyways.
What's that? Well, the problem is there can't be any Gemara. Well, that's complicated. It's very complicated. It sounds like the first thing the Rotzeach Peshogi would do would be run to the near Miklat. And then, this is what it sounds like in the Torah. And then the base comes and judges him, and if... he turns out that he's supposed to go to Ir Miklat. Yeshiva was so idol, Ir Miklat to Asher Nas Shama. And then they return. In other words, you get a free pass. You're accompanied back. That sounds what it sounds like in the Psukim. But in this case, the guy hasn't fled yet. It's a little tricky, I admit. He hasn't fled yet because the guy hasn't died yet. What's that? Well, it sounds... no. I think there is an explicit Gemara in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. No? Does anybody still learn Mishnah? Yes. Mishnah, Brisa. Should be in the second parak of Malkus, I think. It's a good idea to learn Mishnah. Yes. Even if you're not going to learn Taros, or most Israim, at least the, and maybe even Kachim, it's good to learn the middle three Sedarim. It's good to learn all the Sedarim, but... the Mishnah. Isn't there Echad Shogeg v'Echad Mezin? Oh, okay. Rabbi Yosei, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'tchila Echad Shogeg v'Echad Mezin Makdim El Ari Meklat. Based in Shulchan and Mavino so Misham. Mishin is Chayim Misa, but based in Haragu. Shalon is Chayim Misa, Patru. Mishin is Chayim Kolos, Machsino Salim Komo. Shenemar, Heshivo, Soheda, El Ir Miklata. Okay. So I don't know what this guy does because he's got a tricky situation. Does he want to bother to take the trip to the Ari Miklat if, after all, he doesn't know if the guy is going to die? But if he doesn't, then if the other guy dies, Beis Din is going to judge him then and there. And then, if Beis Din finds him deserving of Golus, he's now in a foot race with the Goel Adam.
Wait, but are we saying that we imprison him there?
Yes! V'nikoha makeh.
It's his choice now.
What?
We're imprisoning him here. Well, why do we need to imprison him? Why should we?
Why? Because we're afraid that he won't. I mean, that's a good question. Why? What's that?
He's supposed to run.
I know, but he's supposed to run away.
He's not supposed to go hide. He's supposed to go to
an ir miklat. Well, once he's going to go hide, why does he just go to an ir miklat? Why do you have to hide where you're hiding when you could hide out in public and live a normal life, mostly normal life? I don't know. It's a good question. Why? I know this. The real question is, you're doing a disservice to him, because if the guy dies, he should have the shot to run himself, you know, to touch base, you know, and then, you know, you can bring him back and figure out. You either execute him, you exonerate him, or you send him back to Gullus, but he's protected.
Is
that's
he
a fair.
Is he allowed to go to the Ira Meklat if he didn't kill someone to show you? Is someone allowed to just...
You can live there. People live there. The Pshuto Shel Mikra might very well be there only 6 Ari Meklat, and then 42 additional Ari Levium. The 6 Ari Meklat were Ari Levium, but 42 additional ones. But Chazal, there's a Ramban about this, Chumash. Chazal understood that all 48... were collate, but doesn't sound like that at all from Chumash. But all 48 were collate, but there are differences between the 6 and the 42. Like the 6 are collate, bein ladas, bein shlaladas. You don't have to know you're on base to be safe. Whereas for the 42, if you don't know you're there, then you're, you know, it's open season for the Goel Adam. Mati?
So in this case, they're fighting, right? So he hits him, and then the guy might come to die. But in Makos, we really go to pains to define this really limited category of shogeg that actually can go to gullus. But this sounds more karov l'onis than it does to shogeg. Shogeg is more a case where could this possibly be shogeg?
Yes.
The shogeg, yeah,
first, if you hadn't asked me, I would have said it's karov l'mezin, not karov l'onis.
It's not karov l'mezin, yeah.
Okay. Now, you could say it's karov. So part of the question is, in order to be chayav misa or galus, you have to hit someone hakak, which is really lahamispa, right? Ashaya musboiko. When you hit him with anything but a metal implement, you hit him piece of wood. It's got to be a wood piece of wood that normally could kill someone. If he happened to die in a freak accident, you're not chayav to go to galus at all. You're considered shogeg karov laones. Let me frame something in an important way. To be shogeg karov lemezid, it's not a question of whether your behavior was inappropriate. That doesn't make it shogeg karov lemezid. Shogeg karov l'mezid means you should have anticipated that your act would kill. If I, you know, close my eyes and I take a large rock and I toss it out this window into the middle of the mall, that's shogeg karov l'mezid because there are often people walking there. Right? If it happens to be 2:00 in the morning, you know, in the middle of the summer, or, you know, in the middle of winter break, let's put it that way, and I toss it out the window, I'm either a shogeg or a shogeg karov l'onis, because you don't expect anybody during winter break, when it's freezing out there, to be walking in that mall. Right? You can see where I'm going. So there's a shogeg somewhere in between. So when I hit someone, the fact that I'm striking them does not automatically make it shogeg karov l'mezid. And it could be, you can try to hit someone, but not hit them with all your might. You know you're going to hurt them, but you don't anticipate you're going to kill them. And if the blow was one that really couldn't normally kill a person, then you're potter. It's not a sheyamos bow. But if it's strong enough, but that may not, but your intent wasn't to kill, you pulled your punch a little bit, that might be considered shogeg mamish. And also in the context of two people fighting, it might be more excused. Not midin that you're matzil yourself in the road, Dave, but it might be more, you know, people fight. and they fight, they don't typically kill each other when they come to blows. Sometimes somebody pulls out a knife or does something else that will more likely kill them. So that could be why it's considered shogeg, where there's no expectation. You're responsible. It was stupid that you did. You didn't anticipate that it was going to kill him. You could have anticipated, but you didn't. That's a shogeg. Shogeg bamish. Shogeg gomer. You'd see the motion.
Just sort of looking back at the sugya for a moment, all these arguments for how we can read Hovel and its zoning, they really sort of, I would think, more easily could be read as questions on Rabbi Yochanan. Like, how, like, you know, I come up with like a special Xerah Dakatsu reading, like, no, really, clearly your opinion just goes against the sugya. Like, why do we choose to read them as explanations? Why aren't these just questions?
No, Rabbi Yochanan himself knows. He says that if you hove b'chaver pachas mishav pruta, you get malchus. So the Gemara on Lamed Beis and Beis was already medayik that obviously, if it was more than a shavapruta, you don't get malchus, you pay. So Rabbi Yochanan agrees to that then. He also agrees with the Chachamim, presumably in the Mishnah. Let me correct that. He agrees with the Mishnah of Malchus. Even Rabbi Meir doesn't say that you're lokav and mishal, and Meir says you get both. The Chachamim would say you have to choose one. And that's who Rabbi Yochanan speaking with him say that you pay the money.
This is kind of letting him get off easily. Like, he's just, I don't know, like, is this the shot of the pasuk? Is that supposed to be read in conjunction with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Or really is it should, or like the shot of the pasuk is that that's just not what the halacha is?
Again, you have to ask the question, why not make a binyan av from Chovel and Edom Zomim? And the answer to that question is what the Gemara already said on Lamed Beis and Aleph.
So he's
going to have to say that. Here's the story. With the Gemara, Gemara originally thinks that Ula has a din that you're always Mishalim in Aloka. The Gemara tried to derive it from Edom Zom Chovel. The Gemara said, you can't derive it from there because it's a Pircha. You can't now turn around to me and say, for Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't he learn it from the two of them in a Binyan Av? Because the Gemara already said why. Even Ula can't learn the Binyan Av in there. So much so that the way Tosus reads the Maskana of Ula is that Ula himself rejects the Binyan Av, and even Ula doesn't learn from Motzi Shemra and Malchus, Edom Zomim and Chovel to anything else other than through Xerah Shavah. So he learns only Sevafata, but that's it.
So why does the Gemara take the time to even ask on Rabbi Yochanan? Why don't they just say, like, you can't use those as a binyan av? It's not really a question.
So the Gemara is not asking. The Gemara never asks that you should use as a binyan av. The Gemara just wants to know what's the makor. In the sugya of Ula, the Gemara assumed and knew that by Edom Zomim and by Chovel that Yimshalim ben Aloka, but the Gemara didn't explore why. So when you get to Rabbi, now this, by the way, would be perhaps another. I don't want to say a proof, but that raises the possibility. In fact, there are lots of things that actually, as the more and more I think about it, that the sugyas are out of order.
Because well, we have a raya for, because we have a limud for Chovel Chavera on one phase and phase already.
Correct. No, the point is we don't have.
We already have the one on the Beis and Beis. We completely ignore it. We're doing these sugyas.
No, we don't. We have a makar. All we have is the din. We don't have a makar in the Torah for it. On Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. No, I'm talking about the Ula Sugya. The Ula Sugya almost certainly, it seems, comes chronologically, was composed later. There's another piece of information that is in that Sugya which you have to refer to later. The Kaima Landein Aloka Mishalim. You only know that when you get to Rabbi Yochanan Kedei Rishasel. And when it talks about the fact that Edom Zom and Chovel are Mishalim in Aloka and the Ula Sugya and Lambez and Alf, the Gemara doesn't prove it. Doesn't ask how you know that.
But you know, Kaim Landein Aloka Mishalim from the Mishnah of Makos. Chachamim saying you only get Kol Mishalim.
I just want to note to you, as Rashi says, V'kaim Alon, Denafkalon L'kaman M'chdei Rishaso. I'm not. Okay, agreed. But you'll also agree it's odd that they don't. Now, I could give other explanations. But it's odd that they don't quote an explanation for Ula as to why. Now, in other words, I think I know the answer. You could answer that question as well. Why don't they quote the makar for Ula? The Gemara says that Achova b'chaveiro, they try to use it as a makar for Ula. How come the Gemara doesn't question how do we know by Achova b'chaveiro and how do we know by Edom Zomim that Yimshalim ben Aloka? Ki gufa min alan. How come the Gemara doesn't ask that? Where?
psukim's in any case.
Maybe that's in a case where there wouldn't be any malchus.
It's the din. We only ask for the makor when we ask on the Yochanan.
Why?
Because the question is why are these different for the Yochanan?
Ah, so that's the answer, probably. That's the way you can answer my thought process, which is to say that the reason why the Gemara doesn't ask by Ula, because Ula claims that is the global principle, Mishalim and Aloka. So when we know it's the din. In other words, for Ula, you don't. In other words, well, you still should need a makar, but for Ula, it's the default position, Mishalim and Aloka. So when we know that the din is that way by Edom Zon, we know that then it's by Hovel. We don't have to ask a question, why is it that way? In principle, you could just argue that it's a svara, but you personally want to know more than that, but the Gemara never gets that far. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who claims that the rule is lokev in Mishalim, so now, why don't you say that din? Why don't you apply it by Motzi Shemra, by Edom Zom, and by Hovel? So the answer is, because we have Xeris HaKosef, or in the second set of second Amoraim, Rav Lazar, and then Rav Sheshibrid, Rav Edi, and Rav Yaakov, and Harpakod B'Shem Rabba, then have different makoros. One of them is a svar makar, and the other two are offering, I don't want to say they're offering a different makar in the Torah, but the Torah just mamela assumes that when it comes to Chovel, you pay and you don't get malchus. Okay. Fine. Is there a question?
Yeah. I mean, on Monday's on base, we have a limit of color. Why you came out on for Chol V'Chaim.
Okay. That's, Ken Yasimbo.
So, I mean, are we just like ignoring that?
Yes. No. Just as Rabbi Lazar explicitly rejects Yad B'Yad, Roshay Shabreder of Edi. Rosh Hashanah of Edi says that Lagabe Chovel, you also don't need this limud of Kenyan Asenba.
So it's not like that. So when we first read the Gemara, we said that we don't really have a limud. We do have a limud.
For whom?
For any. I mean, who doesn't this work for?
Well, in the end, it doesn't work at all.
What, the Yad B'Yad?
No. Rosh Hashanah of Edi and Reacton Apricot.
It doesn't work.
Right?
We can still fall back and Yad B'Yad.
That's what we do.
Yeah, okay. Good.
The whole point of the Gemara is these Amoraim were suggesting, oh, this you don't need Yad, you don't need Ken Yad Asimbo. The Gemara's Maskanas, yes, you do. Rabbi Lazar said, you don't need Yad B'Yad. Abaye says, yes, you do. Say.
What are these Amoraim's problems with Yad B'Yad?
I'm sorry?
What's the problem with Yad B'Yad that I was going to Do they not?
You're better cautious on the second one. Rabbi Lazar would say, I don't need a pasuk, I have a svara.
Right.
But on the latter Amoraim, why do they not want to say Kainas and Bo? I don't know.
Also, do we look for regal beregal and ayin ba'ayin Yusar?
They teach you things.
They do?
Yeah.
So you would need Yad B'Yad for something. So if you hold like Rashid Ravidi and
now you have an extra Yad B'Yad you have to do something with, yes. But the truth is, the Pasuk almost demands that. The Drasha. The Pasuk is on my Darshan. It says, right? Why do you need to tell us that? That was Vasis and Lokashar Zaman Lasos. Yep.
So there would be a problem. It sounds like it would be a problem to.
I don't know. They learned something from it. Okay. So I want to start with the first Tosus on the Sugya. It is not an easy Tosus, I thought. It's really explaining Rabbi Meir's statement. The reason why I'm a little bit interested in it, just a little bit, is because it touches upon the issue of multiple onshin. So, who was reading for me? Moshe was reading for me. And Yudi, you know what that means. You're up next. So next time, Moshe, when you're going to volunteer to read, make sure you check with Chavrusa. Did you toast with Shalom Hashem?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is, firstly, although it's pretty simple to answer this question, what is Tosus trying to explain? What does it mean, Shalom Hashem, HaMevi'a Lidei Malkus, HaMevi'a Lidei Mamon? So Rashi had said, he quotes Rashi, all right, so what is does Rashi actually say that? Yes, yeah. He does. Yeah. So, you trust the Tosos. You go back and you check that Rashi says it. Okay, so now, Rashi, so what is the implication? Before you've been reading further in Tosos, what could you be medayik from Rabbi Meir's statement? You see?
I would have said simply that you got two psukim, two sources of punishment, we apply both.
Okay, but?
But had there been one pasuk,
which
gave both punishments, then Rabbi Meir would not have actually applied both. And I guess that implies some version of Kim Leib Drum.
Correct. Why does that make absolutely no sense?
Because he doesn't have Kim Leib Drum.
No. What's that? Remember that Kamei be the Rabba Mine is a spectrum. And now let's think about for a moment Mamon Lazeh and Nefashos Lazeh. We who say Kamei be the Rabba Mine and almost always patter you on the Mamon when there's Malkos, so yet if it's Mamon Lazeh or Misa, for that matter, certainly, Mamon Lazeh and Nefashos Lazeh, all of a sudden we don't say Kamei be the Rabba Mine. So it is conceivable you could envision a position that would say that you do say, in other words, come maybe the Rabbi Mine when it's one person, one entity, but you don't say when it's two. So by that token, you can envision someone who would say that when it's one Isser involved, that's giving you Mamon and Malkos, you only get one. But when it's two, you give them both. You could envision someone saying that. The problem is, what's the problem with saying that if it had been one Isser, one shame, and the Torah said you give Mamon and Malkos, that there you would say, Kamei be the Rabba Mine, Moshe?
It's counterintuitive. If the Torah deliberately put them together, it's more likely that they have to be together.
I have a question for you. You're correct. I have a question for you. Why don't you say by Motzi Shemra that Ein Adam Loka Mashali, and therefore you only give them the Malkos, you don't make them pay the Mea Kesef? Right? Ein Adam Loka Mashali, Kamei be the Rabba Mine. The answer is, because the Torah tells you. That's in a sense, essence, Tosas Kasha. What do you mean that if it comes from two separate Isserim, that's why you get two punishments? But if it one Isser, the Torah said you get Malkus and Mammon, then you only would get one of them. What do you mean? But the Torah told you get two. You see, when it comes to two separate Isserim, I could argue that you own that. Take this example for the moment. You have a case of Edim Zelmanim. And you have a case of Eidei Sheker. It's often hard to know they're Eidei Sheker, but there are cases that you know they're Eidei Sheker. So, I would have said the following. When you become an Eid Sheker, and there's no Eidim Zomim, so there I would say, you get Malkus. And if you had a case of Kasher Zama, I might very well say that you only pay money in that case, and you don't get the Malkos. But if the Torah told you in one case that you get Mamon and Malkos, and as I could say that one of the Pesukim only applies when the other one is not being enforced. But if I have one Isser, one set of Pesukim, and they tell you that the punishment is Mamon and Malkos, then of course you give them both. It doesn't matter that you have a general rule, Enam Loka Mashalim, Ekamalei Bravim. Here is obviously an exception to the rule. You'd say?
In other words, it could be that there would be a sort of phrasing where, you know, we would say that he both gives money and he marries her, but it could also be a situation where two different things are listed, and we'll say, oh, in that Conmore case, it'll be that one, and that one, you know.
I'll grant you that for the moment. It's possible. But I'm asking you, which is it more likely that we're going to say that you get both? When it's two different shemos, or when it's one shem in one parsha? Where are you more likely to say you get both?
I don't know. I have Tosa in my brain. It's hard to unread it.
I think the answer is that you're more likely to say that you get both when it's Mishem Echad. Not that you automatically will. I grant you that. Okay. So now, Tosa says... Oh, that's what I would have thought. Now, we're going to find out in the next couple of lines how sharp you guys are. Okay. You've seen this before. Where have you seen this before?
On the previous project, I suppose. Next stop.
What? Where?
Oh, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. We saw similar logic in the previous on Tosfos.
Which Tosfos did you see similar logic in?
But it's to a later part of Tosfos, so it's not a later part of this. I'll read up to here. Let me save for tomorrow.
You've seen this already, guys. Tosfos engages almost in sleight of hand here. Tosa says, one second, eh? Tosa, the Havamina was that it's Shnei Shemos versus Shem Echad. What is the Teretz?
Sassoza.
What?
Sassoza. The year.
It's Shnei Shemos versus Kasher Zamam. Now, but isn't that counterintuitive? Still. So what did you say, Zach, just now? Where have we seen this before? This is Rabbi Nutan.
Wasn't the previous Tosfos.
Not the previous Talmud. You've got to go back a couple. Not in this sugya. This is exactly the problem with Rabbi Nutan. You remember Rabbi Nutan? Rabbi Nutan wanted to argue that Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is Chayev too, only by Edim Zomamim, because it was Kasher Zamam. So then, what's that?
When it's two people. When it's two separate people. No?
Oh, the problem with Rabbeinu Tam is, Rabbeinu Tam's Svar is so good that it's Kasher Zamam, and if you would have resulted in two punishments, therefore, you should get two punishments. So every case of Edim Zomim, you should say Kasher Zamam and Loka Mishalim. But the problem is, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you testify that the Edim, the Edei Habal, who are Huzmu, who testified about the woman, that she should have gotten executed and she was going to lose her Ksuba, the Gemara says that they're not Lokim, that they're not Mesa Mishalim, but rather they just get Mesa. So according to Rabbi Tam, why? You should say Kasher Zamam. They wanted to give her Mesa and Mamon. They should get Misa Mamon. There's no commonly Rabbi because it's all one owner. So what did Rabbi Natan say? It's Mikta Sazama. It's enough, Lagabe, each party, if you give them something. So Tosus wants to say, that's Rabbi Meir's Svara here. That would have been, according to Rashi's explanation, that would be Rabbi Meir's Svara. We're not talking about a case. This is a crucial point, but Tosus doesn't flesh this out. We're not talking about two Isurim, where each one has its own punishment, versus one Isur where the Torah prescribes two punishments. We're talking about two separate Isurim where the Torah prescribes each punishment, versus Edim Zomimim, where the Torah prescribes only one punishment, namely Kasher Zamam. But now, Kasher Zamam involves potentially two things. So, Rabbi Meir, but the Torah never said befeirush, give them both. That was Tosus's kasha. How can you say that two shemos you're going to be chayav, but one shem you're not going to be chayav both? If the Torah says on one aveira you get both, Like Motzi Shemar, you get both. The answer is, there's one place where the Torah says that you get one punishment, but the one punishment might be two punishments. But the Torah doesn't spell that out. That's namely Kasher Zaman. So Rabbi Meir is saying the following, that if both punishments here of the Malkus and the Mammon were a product of Kasher Zaman, so then I might very well say you just get one of them. Why? Because as long as you've done Mixas HaZama, you've done Kasher Zaman. But since Lo Hashem HaMevi'eli V'Malkos Mevi'eli V'Tashlumin, because they don't both come from Kasher Zaman, the Mammon comes from Kasher Zaman V'Tashlumin, but the Malkos comes from Lo Saneh, so now Rameir says that in order to make sure that each Pasuk is happy, that each Pasuk goes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Banecha Kimuni, they fulfilled me. So once you have two separate Pesukim, if you don't give them both Onshin, one of the Pesukim is going to be Kovel, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, they left me out in the cold. But if it's Kasher Zaman, the Pasuk of Kasher Zaman can sing and dance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they may be happy. They gave him a punishment. They didn't give him every punishment? So the pasuk's not a chazir. He's not going to complain. Brush him. I want everything. It's enough that I get something. That is what Tosa says. This is, in effect, what Rabbeinu Tam says earlier, which is different. You know, it's tas kasha. But that's what Tosa says. That if you want to defend Rashi's reading, you're going to have to say, he doesn't say it, you have to say like Rabbeinu Tam. That they, just as Rabbeinu Tam said, that the havamino, or the possibility of mamon lezeh, tashlum lezeh, is not a general principle. It's limited to Edim Zomim. But within Edim Zomim, that's why here there's a Hava Mina. But within Edim Zomim, you don't always say it's Kasher Zaman. If it's one person, you don't give them Malkus and Mammon if they were trying to punish one person. Why not? The answer is because Lagabe, the one person, that one person got partial satisfaction. By the case of the Motzi Shemra, where the Edim testified that she committed adultery and they want to get her killed in Masar and Mammon, and she's happy because we killed the Edom. We don't make them pay money too. It's okay. Her pain was acknowledged. Whereas, if it were two people, if it were the husband who were having to pay, and the Edom, the Edom HaBaal, we put to death, and now we're Masar and the Edom HaAv, so there, if you only make the Edom HaAv be killed, the husband says, yeah, what about my money? How did you punish them for me? And if you only make them pay money, then the Edom HaBaal said, but they wanted to kill us. How can you not speak on our behalf? So the exact same thing here, that once, if it's two separate Isurim, so then either Losan is not going to be met or Kasher Zaman is not going to be met. But if both of them had stemmed from Kasher Zaman, if both had stemmed from Kasher Zaman, and the Torah by Kasher Zaman is not spelling out multiple punishments. It just happens to be that if when you do something to somebody, you end up creating potentially multiple punishments, that then in such a case, we could satisfy Kasher Zaman if we give one of the punishments. So Rabbi Meir might agree, Rabbi Meir sounds like would agree, that if it were Shem Echad, if Kasher Zaman was what produced both the Malkus and the Mammon, I would be maskim that you only get one punishment. But since Lo Hashem HaMevi'eli L'idei Malkus, Mevi'eli L'idei Mammon, you have to make sure that each Pasuk is satisfied that it has justice demanded for it, and therefore you give a Malkus and Mammon. That is the first Teres and Tosis. When you saw this, you should have realized, you might have realized that this is very much a repetition of Rabbeinu Tam Svara and the Tosas on Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph. Okay. Ve'einir
l'ri. Lo mistaver shlo yu chayav in mamu makav be'kayim avna. Kevan sharatzu l'chayvo shneim. Ve'einir l'ri.
Okay, so what was his kasha here? Exactly, our kasha against Rabbeinu Tam. In other words, Kasher Zaman is one punishment, even if it has multiple parts. Rabbeinu Tam's Svara on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph was such a beautiful Svara. You can say Kasher Zaman is one punishment, and therefore you can say that you pay Mammon and you get Malkos, because it's really one punishment. But it was such a good Svara that it should have applied in all cases of Edom Zaman, and yet it doesn't. So by the very same token here, the Re says it doesn't make sense to say that if you're gonna argue that on Kasher Zaman, if Kasher Zaman is mechayev you two punishments, then it makes no sense to say come lebe the rabba mine. Why? Because it's only one punishment. It's Kasher Zaman. That's why he says it's the lo mistaber shelo yehu chayav and mamon umalkus b'chayagamna kevod shiratzu l'chayv o'shnayim. That's exactly the course for Rabbeinu Tam on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. And it's why Rabbeinu Tam's shita is so difficult in terms of the text of the Gemara. Because the Gemara assumes, Sanhedrin explicitly, that the Eidei Habal, when they're Husmu, only get one punishment. Namely, the Misa, they don't get the Mammon that they were going to be master the Isha HaKesubah. Okay. Fine. That was Teretz number one, which Tosus doesn't like. Therefore, Tosus says, Stop. So what did Tosaf say here? The second teretz. Again, what does it mean? Lo Hashem hamevi'a lidei malkos mevi'a lidei mamon. It means that the two psukim are not connected to one another. They're not next to one another, or connected, as Tosaf will say in the next part of this answer. They're not really actually connected to one another. If the two psukim, if lo sane. If the Torah had said that, what would you have said? Tosas says it in a very funny way. Tosas calls it a lav anita klase. It's not really a lav anita klase.
If I did lo sana, then I have to kasher
them. Correct. In other words, if the Torah is explicitly spelling out the punishment, it's a lav shenitan las. It's like a lav shenitan las haras misas based in. Okay, can someone explain to me why a lav shenitan las haras misas based in lokan alav? What? And let's say they were mazir you from Malkus and not from Misa. Why? What? What's that? Nope, that's not the way it's usually explained. What's that? I categorically disagree with that statement. I don't know if anybody, there might be someone who would say that. That does not refer to the onesh. It refers to the way the prohibition is presented, the way the nature of the, some say even the nature of the way the act is done. The onesh is something external. Why are you not loka? If you're not loka, and we hold that way, I think, that you're not loka lav shenita lav shenita space. It's clear when you look at the endotosis here, I think. Why is it that you're not loka and a lav shenita lav shenita space? And the answer is, because normally you're loka because the lav comes to teach you the prohibition and malchus. But if the lav has to come, if the Torah says, don't do this, because if you do this, we're going to put you to death, then it's sort of removed from the category of ordinary lavin. And if Torah says, don't testify falsely, because if you testify falsely, we're going to make you pay, then it's removed from the category of ordinary lavin. As when the Torah spells out the onesh for something, the purpose of the lav was an azhara for that. Because you don't need an azhara for karis. Pesach and Mila is your proof. Ashara is for Beis Din to be manish.
You need a
right. So therefore, you don't when a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes someone with karis to be Michal Shabbos, person doesn't require hasra and mater atzma lamisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what the person knows, and knows whether the person is chayav karis, and you don't have to say afal pikein. We need an ashara. We need an ashasra. We need an ashara to permit Beis Din to punish. We need a hasra that the person should be amazed and should be ma'atar atzma lamisa. But that's only a din in Beis Din.
It's like Mavar is that sort of thing, like whether it was shogeg or mazid.
The hasra is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes. So, Tosus is really saying, it's not a lav hanita klase, even if they weren't, what does la hanita klase mean? Yeah, it's a corrective action. Tosfos
bring that as a possibility.
What's that?
Tosfos reject that backhandedly, but they do bring that up here literally.
Well, correct. Then the problem is Tosfos, I don't understand, to be honest, the way Tosfos formulates this. I would have just said that if it had said lo sanevra cha eid shaker and im anesa aneh im anesa aneh then vasisem lo kashesem alasos lachiv. So then I would have understood. That's what I think Tosfos is saying.
Yeah.
But he calls it a lav shenita klase, and then
later,
he has a.
Later he actually says.
I know. Let's just follow this through. So he says that aval ata shenichta and as had it been next to one another as vadav aminet lahave lav shenita klase velo yoke alav. Again, it's not really a lav anita klase. The Torah is just saying the punishment for this prohibition is kasher samam. Aval atosh, and what's that? Vasisen lo kasher. I understand. Well, let's hold on. You'll see in a second. Read the continuation. Shlayan said, "Aval atosh shenichtav rachok zemizeh lo hav anita klase velo dami." Now here's the kasha. Velo dami. Continue. Alright, so Tosfos has a kasha. If in order to be a lav hanita klase, because he's used that terminology, it has to be smuchim. Like, velososira mimenu ad boker, vanosar mimenu ad boker, ba'esh tisrofu. And then where there's a machlokus about a lav shekidmo asay, elosika cho'em halabanim, well, that's if it is a lav anita klase, might be. Lo sikach ha'im abanim shalech t'shalach esa'im v'esabanim tikach lach. They're next to one another. But if that's the case, so we know that you're not loka on gazela. Maybe it would have been better that way. Maybe fewer people would be dishonest if they got malchus instead of mammon. Okay, and that's the philosophy in the American justice system. They don't get malchus, they throw him in prison. Okay, but if Satosa says you don't get malchus on gazel, so where does it say lo sigzol? There's an old joke they say that if only lo sigzol or lo signovu had been a footnote in the Mishnah Berurah rather than a pasuk in the Torah, more people might follow it. So where does it say lo sigzol? In Parshas Kedoshim. And lo tignovu as well. Lo sashokas reachav lo sigzol. Lo tignovu lo hachashuv lo sashakrish b'amisel. First Ali in Kedoshim. Where does it say v'yishivas ha'gzela asher gazal? In Parshas Vayikra by the Ashan Gazelos. So you're not allowed to steal. You steal, you have to return what you stole. It's a lav anita klase. So Tosfos asks, but they're not smuchim zelazeh. Had it said lo sigzol, v'ish asher gazal, I'm not good. V'ish asher yigzol me'reu, v'yishivas ha'gzel asher gazal. Okay. So Tosfos says, so what am I talking about? So it says, afal gad v'aseh asher gazel lo ksevetz olav de lo sigzol, the hasam vadai, I love that, the hasam vadai al karchach. That is a nita klase. Why? Ella, who's on? This is Tosfos says like this. This is a very longish way of saying that one that a lav anita klase means that the assay undoes, in some sense, the damage of the lav. It doesn't totally undo it. You steal from someone, you cause them harm in some sense. You may have caused them anguish, whatever it is, but you restore, you make almost complete restoration. You restore the money you stole. No, sir. You're not supposed to leave it over because kachem isn't supposed to be left in a no, sir state, but if it's left over, you burn it, it no longer exists, it's fine. But when it comes to Edom Zomamim, the Akasha Zomam cannot be nitak la'asei because it's not fixing the edus. What fixed the edus? The problem is these guys lied. They put testimony into the record that was a lie. What do we have to do? We have to expunge that testimony. How do we expunge that testimony? By being mazim them. Not by punishing them. By the other two edim coming and saying, Imanoha Yusem Bemakom Ploni, how could you say this? We doresh v'chilker, the second eidim appear to be correct. We dismiss the testimony of the first eidim. That's is oger the eidus, but that's not vasisim lo kasher zamam. That's something else. Thus, Tosa says it can't be, unless the two psukim have been next to one another. Now again, would that have been a lava nitek lasei now, Shlayan? No, but it would have been.
Why not? Because it's not
ase? No, because it's not undoing the damage.
By raising this possibility, he's explaining why it's not allowed.
No, correct. But even had it been next to one another,
he's saying that that's what if they had been next to one another, that's what they would have done. I mean, no, he's
no. He's saying that, I think what he really means that they've been next to one another. Even, the punishment for
in the psukim nor by
right. But if it's in the psukim sense, what it really means it's not a in Tosus has already explained when they're not next to one another. Why does lav anitak lasei work? Because the essay fixes the lav, and if the two psukim were next to one another, it fixes lav. No, it doesn't fix lav. It means something else. Okay, but it means something. It's very interesting. In the sugya, we're going to see on the top of Lama Gimel Aleph, Eidah Shi'ata Yachal Lazima. Tosus asked, there are two completely different meanings in the Gemara of that terminology. So here, Tosus is borrowing the term Lava Nitak Lasei. It's not really Lava Nitak Lasei. It's Lava Nitak to a specific punishment. In other words, sometimes the Asei fixes the Lav, sometimes the Asei is the punishment for the Lav. That's what it means, a lava nitak lasei. Nitak means to be uprooted from. What do the words mean literally? Lava nitak lasei. A lava that was uprooted into an ase. Now that could just mean, it could mean a reduction in punishment. Look at the expression, I'm trying to remember it in the back of my head, nitak. Nitak means to be uprooted from one place and put in another. A lava nitak, in other words, we usually think lava nitak lasei means the ase fixes the lav. Tosus here is interpreting in a literal fashion the lav which normally gets malchus is now nitak to the ase of Ashkisan lo kasher zamam.
And that's
right,
gzeila is lashnegalase. But nosa is lashnegalase not because it undoes the act of leaving it over, it's because they're written right next to each other. That's the second criteria.
No, I don't think so. I think it's because it undoes it.
Why can't you eat it?
Yeah, why can't I throw it off a cliff? Maybe that's equal to getting rid of it. So it has to tell you specifically this is the way to
burn it. You're not undoing the leaving over.
No, but the whole point is that but if you frame this as you're not supposed to have something there after its time. By burning it, you destroy it. Mina'olam, it's not there. Throwing it off the cliff, you don't do that. Eating it, by the way, would solve the problem, but then you get Malchus feeding, Kari's feeding. No, sir, it's a separate problem.
But you would get Malchus. So you shouldn't get Malchus because it's a lashnei
v'asei. No, except for the asei. No. No one is saying that because if I eat chazir, and then I regurgitate it, purge myself. No one says that even if you assume that Hanas Me'av is important, we don't say you don't get Malchus there, because the Torah never gave you a mitzvah doing that. The reason why you don't get Malchus on Tosiru is because the Torah said that if you leave it over, then you burn it. And that's considered, because both Minas Svara and because the Torah presents it, it does actually fix in certain sense. You're right, eating it would fix it also, except for that would violate the Torah.
Why can't you do anything else that gets rid of it? Why can't you throw it into the young melon?
Well, it doesn't get rid of it. It's still there.
We consider that getting rid of it for everything else. And for Avodah Zarah, we can throw something down.
Get rid of it. It just means nobody can be nene from it.
So what is getting rid of it?
But you put stuff in the Yam HaMelach that you, let's say metal, because you can't burn it. It doesn't work to burn it, but you don't want people to get an off from it. That's not a mitzvah. You can't do sreifa by certain things of Avodah Zarah. So those things, we don't say that if you take a piece of wood by Avodah Zarah that it's okay to throw it into the Yam HaMelach. You have to burn the wood.
No, you can't.
What?
You can't?
No.
Is it sure that no one's going to get an off from it?
No, it's a mitzvah. I think it's a mitzvah to burn. I think Avodah Zarah. If it's a mitzvah, b'sreifa. Otherwise, it's just removing a takala. So you still don't have a kasher. There's a mitzvah to burn, no, sir.
But why can't you?
The mitzvah is given as
the only way to get rid of it.
Because it's not the only way. The Torah tells you if you want to be nitak, if forgetting about the problem, if it's a lav shem o'maisa, whatever else. If you assume you get malchus and no, sir, without it being lav anitak lasei, and you were to end. And you were to do something else that got rid of it, not burn it, you might not be potter from the Malchus because you didn't do the mitzvah saseh. I'm not telling you
that. Because the mitzvah saseh needs to be okay. It's because
I'm not telling you that fixing something gets you out of the lav. I'm telling you that the Torah gives you a mitzvah aseh, which happens to fix the lav as well. Then you putter when you do the aseh. Or you never get. It could be you're not loki bechlal on the lav because it's called the lav and itik laseh. It might be that if you eat the nosar, you'll get malchus feeding nosar. You won't get malchus for making it nosar because you don't get malchus on the lav and nosar because it's lav and itik laseh. Whether you did the aseh or not, that gets into a separate sugi and malchus. Okay, chemo versus bit low. But for the moment, the point is that in order for something to be a lav and itik laseh. In the classic sense, we say that the assay has to be something that repairs the lav. Okay? So there's the machlokas atanayim, what the mitzvah, whether shalech, shalach is made kara, or in a harami. It's a lav and itik lasei. Yeah.
And how could it be a lav and itik lasei if it's not made kara?
What's that?
If you take the eggs first and then send away, isn't the chacham the one to say? The chacham shita is that it's a itik lasei.
It's machlokes chacham Rabbi Yehuda. I don't remember which says which. But the point is,
so how is that a mitzvah lasei? You didn't undo the fact that you took the eggs while the bird was still there.
Okay, but at this point, if you leave the bird in the nest, then the bird is still in the, presumably with the empty nest, with its eggs not there. You send the bird away. That's again, you're also making assumptions about the Rachmanis piece. Okay? So the point is, I don't know what the purpose is, but the Torah says that you're not supposed to leave the mother bird there and just take the eggs or the chicks. So if you took them already, now send the mother bird away at least. That is repairing the situation partially. It's not a full repair. Burning the nosar is not a full repair either. Returning the xenon is not a full repair either, but it sort of undoes what you did in some sense. Okay, but giving the Edom punishment of Kasher Zamam conceptually is not undoing their testimony. What undoes their testimony and is mevatalit is the Hazama itself. That doesn't require specific onesh.
So, I'm still understanding why you need each Mashiach L'Asseh to be Oger V'Lav. It sounds like
that's what Tosa says.
It sounds like he's saying that either it needs to be written next to the Pasuk, or it needs to be Oger V'Lav.
I agree, and I'm pointing out, though, that we normally think Lav, when you, if you learn Balabatish, you learn Lav Anita Klaseh, it means you weren't supposed to do it, now you fix it. Right? We understand how burning the nosar fixes it. We understand how returning the xela fixes it. We understand how sending the mother bird away now fixes it. Punishing the Edom Kasher Zamam does not fix their testimony.
Correct.
It punishes them. Now, Sotosis knows that. Sotosis says, if not, they in order for this Kasher, in order for this to have been a lav anita klasei, it would have been have to have been next to the losana. So I ask you a question, what does that mean then, lav hanita klasei? It doesn't mean it fixes it. What I believe it means is lav hanita klasei, in its most literal form, means that the lav has been converted. Normally a lav should have been miyuchad for what? Right, let me ask you the question differently. What does nitak mean? When the term nitak is used, you're usually nitak min x la y. I bet you if you go do a concordance search, don't do Bar Ilan search, it's uprooted from one into the other. So when we say a lav anita klase, it's uprooted into an ase. What is it uprooted from? Which means? Makos. That's what Tosis is doing here. Lav, which normally is Malkos, is nita klase. Instead of getting the Malkos, you do the ase. It's almost a literal usage of that. Now, that's not the way I usually understood it.
Would you get to that? How can you say that if Rabbi Meir is saying if it was written next to each other,
yeah,
then something would be okay with that?
So what I'm telling you, I think what Tosfos means, the way he's understanding Rabbi's expression, is that the Torah said, Losana, Tosfos adds those words in, Vim'ana, if you were violated losana, vasisam lo kasher zamam. If the Torah had spelled it out that way, you would understand the punishment for losana was.
He was just saying objectively that can't be what it is because it's ayideh shehuza.
No. So that's what I'm telling you. It's not. Tosis is lav anita klasei when they're smuchim zelizeh is not a fixing. It's not an asay fixing the lav. It's like a lav shenitan lasharas misas beisdin. In fact, if I were lulei demistapina, I would want to say, and maybe you can search the kisvayad and see that maybe someone will say that the correct terminology, and I wouldn't even be surprised if it is, now that I think about this, lav shenitach lasharas misas beisdin. Right? The way I explained to you before. That's what Tosus is, lav anita klase is when esmuchim salaseh. Because clearly Tosus knows it's not fixing it. That doesn't change. So what is it then? The answer is, because the Torah says, and he formulates it that way, that if you violate losana, this is what we do to you, so this lav doesn't get malchus. This lav gets something else. Normally, the default assumption, a lav adumi dechasima, a lav adumi dechasima, and I'll add, and one of the things about the lav dechasima is the Torah doesn't spell out the punishment, except for it happens to be samuch to the parasha Malkus. And it's not in the right direction either. It follows the parasha Malkus. There's nothing after Los Achsom. So that it's a lav shem b'maisa, it's a lav shem nita klase, in version 2, nita klase of Tosos. It's a lav, it's not a lav shem b'chlalos, it's not a lav abam b'chlalase, and the Torah doesn't specify the punishment. And what's the punishment for Los Achsom, therefore? Smichus. You get Malkus. And any lav that's dumi the chasima. So if a lav is nitak or nitan lasharas misas beisdin, okay, meaning the Torah set, another meaning the Torah spells out the punishment for that lav, then you don't get malchus. You get the punishment the Torah prescribes. If the Torah says don't testify either sheker, and if you do, I'm going to give you kasher zamam, then in losane doesn't get malchus; it gets kasher zamam. But Rabbi Meir says lo hashem hamavili de malchus, mavili de mamon. Tosis a second interpretation means the psukim am not smuchim zelazed; they're two separate things. Therefore, you can't say kasher zamam is being prescribed by the Torah as the punishment for losane. Therefore, for losane you get malchus, and for kasher zamam you get that punishment.
Sounds like a
third. No.
It sounds like there was a law for
Losana
and a punishment.
No. He says, Tosa says, yes, there is a relationship between that and the third.
One second.
So only you're right. The difference between the second and the third is that, according to the second parish, had the tubin written next to one another, then we would have read it as a lav shenita klase, Tosis version number one. This third teretz in Tosis says that mamon doesn't require an ashara. Thus, by definition, losane, no matter where it's written, must be for something else, for Malkus. But you're right, the last two Teirutzim are not so far apart. But I think that's a fact.
So this Teirutz is that Losana, since Losana and Kasher Zomam are not written Smuchim, then you can't say that the Kasher Zomam is the Asay that would be Nitak the Losana.
It's Menat take the Losana, right. Whereas the third teretz,
even though it's clear that the fact that they were huzam is how it was nitak.
Again, it was how it was nitakin. That's how you fixed it.
That's how you were okay the lav.
Right, or you repaired the lav. I would say you unbid it.
Even if they were next to each other, wouldn't you say the same thing?
So it doesn't repair the lav. That's why I'm saying, what does it mean a lav anitak lase? If it doesn't repair it, just because they're next to another, what does it mean? So Tosus said, not my fault, Tosus says it. He says, Dim hoya kosa ba'osu pasagatsma, lo sane, vim ona, vasisim lo kasher zamam.
Right.
Part of the
definition of lashon neglase is either two psukim that are written, one's a lav and one's an asay directly related to that lav right next to each other, or, like gazela,
if there's a svara for it,
that you are okay. Right.
Again, but I'm asking, why is it that if a Torah had said, lo sanev im ana, vasisa no kasher zamam,
because that's the rule. If there's a lav and then there's an asay, you want to define asay loosely.
And there's asay. Why? But what's the svara behind that? Just read the pasuk. It says, don't do X, and if you do X, this is what happens.
Maybe right? The idea is that it's
that means
not as obvious that it's okay, but it still is. The Torah is telling you it is.
And how is it ochre?
I'll show you that it's ochre in some way, in a way that you wouldn't think.
Okay, but at the end of the day, I can say that every time the Torah says, don't do X, and this is the punishment for doing X. And you must. So I can say that and that, by the way, is not, it's not primarily because it's samuch zeh lazeh. When you just read what Tosa says, let's say it had said losana, and then a few psukim later it says v'imsane v'imona v'asishan lo kasher zamam. Would that not be allowed in itaklase in Tosa's definition? Even though they're a few psukim apart, because it said later,
oh,
imana.
No, sorry.
It wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be if it was a few psukim apart.
Right, so I find that.
It's got to be the same pasuk, or literally right next to each other.
So I would just argue to, but once you say imana, imana vasisen lo kasher zamam, makes the two psukim connected. It doesn't have to be geographic proximity per se.
Yeah, if you have a whole Indian in between there.
Well, it would be unusual to do that, but I would argue in Achrimos and Kedoshim. Right, Achrimos and Kedoshim, nobody says, and again, you have the Lavim in Achrimos, but you have the Onshim in Kedoshim. Right, we don't say just because there's a whole Inyan in between, lots of very important Inyan in between the first parak in Kedoshim, we don't say that the two are not connected, they are connected. That's a Lav Shanita L'Sarzim is the space, and this is a Lav which is given to the Asay of Asis L'Makashar Zamam. Okay.
You want to say that
That's the way I understand Tosos, right?
Yeah, well,
the fact that they're next to one another doesn't mean anything unless... again, if Tosos just said, Smuchim Zalazeh, Losana Berecha, and Shaker, Vasisim Lo, you know, and Ki Akumeir Chamas Be'ish, Vasisim Lo Kasher Zamam, then I would agree that it's just because they're Smuchim Zalazeh. But Tosos says, Losana Berecha, like that's befavorish telling you what the punishment. That's no different than the Achrimos Kedoshim Sukkim. Right?
But
those that don't have
that was his example of them being smuchim.
I know, but why does he have to say? I mean, is it on a? I don't know. It sounds like it really sounds like that if the Torah prescribes the punishment of mammon for this, then it means that it's nitak from the category of a lav, and instead you get this mitzvah saseh to do to him.
Okay. Well, the thing I would say that to really use that the last line in this sheet is hilchach l'chashvina meimitak la'asei kevon shelo nechka ba'achrav samuch la. Meaning like ayei shehuzam, and the reason.
So I'm saying because they're not next to one another, you don't perceive that the asei is somehow limiting. In other words, it's not the lav anita klasei type one. In other words, we don't say that the status of a regular lav has been removed and now the punishment is just an assay, but rather the malchus remains in effect. Mati.
So you keep reading it as a punishment, but maybe since we're dealing with mammon here, we know that the mammon at least think that aid and zomim to pay money, that's a monetary payment.
Yeah.
They think that's mammon.
No, mammon of aid and zomim is clearly a punishment. They didn't do anything.
Well, you might call it a punishment, but it's called... They treat it like it's mammon. They don't even treat it like it's kanas. They treat it like it's mammon. And maybe you could say that the assay now is for him to pay that money. Sure, basically force him to pay the money, but he has the assay to pay the money.
Okay. Finally, the third teretz. And you're right. You're right for asking how different is the third teretz or the second teretz. The difference is not huge. Go ahead. V'harabenu Shlomo. I'm guessing, if I didn't know better, what? I'm wondering if that's Twa. Yeah, Rash, same, it's just a just Twa, that's where Rashi is from. Troyes, Twa. That's, I believe, how it's pronounced. Twa, I believe so. I would never know. Firstly, No. By the way, probably it tells you that in their time, they heard the S was pronounced. It's just not pronounced anymore. Yeah. But that's Kashamati. Kashamati. I think Meishti. I've heard it probably listening to Dr. Salvage pronounce it. Twa. What?
Still transliterating it.
They pronounced it with an S. Right? The French, New Orleans, we say an S in English. The French, however, in their very snotty pronunciation, they pronounce the word. There's no S at the end. But the Remer lines, right? They obviously once pronounced that S.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be.
Right? It wouldn't be there. That's correct. The sin wouldn't be there at the end. Fine. So I suspect Rabbeinu Shlomo, I think that's probably a dalet instead of a tes. They both are similar sounds, and it's probably twa. Okay? That's my guess.
Shlomo Hashem Avili Dei Machot Dainu Lotan Avili Dei Tashlum. Perish. Eino Baliot Azhara La Anush Tashlum Kidamrinam Bemachot. The Mamon Lo Bai Azhara.
Okay. Well, now, I want you to skip the next line, because to read Tosis, it's much easier if you skip until the end of the next line. But what he starts by saying is that there's no onesh, and there's no need for an ashara in order to give tashlumin of mamon of edim zon, because tashlumin doesn't require ashara. Which, by the way, is a chiddush. That sounds silly, but you understand, it doesn't mean if I steal from you, you don't require an ashara for me to pay back. Of course you don't require an ashara there. It's not a punishment. It's just making good. It's just filling in what you broke. When you say you don't need an ashara for mamon, the mamon of Edom Zom is an onesh. I didn't do any damage to you. I didn't do any damage to you. In fact, remember that if we testify that Reuven owes Shimon money, Edom Zom, we're Edom Zom, when we testify, and Reuven pays the money to Shimon, Shimon has to return the money when the Edom are huzmu. This is not like if you kill him, you don't get killed. Right? If Reuven paid the money already, Shimon owes him the money back. Shimon was entitled to it. But on top of that, the Edom Zom then have to pay. So it's not filling in that which they broke. It's an onesh. But nonetheless, your mamon doesn't require an onesh.
Then Shimon's gaining. Like I'm saying, he had now more money.
Reuven gained for his suffering, if you would like. Well, so be it. So be it. But the bottom line is that money is not fixing that which they broke. That money is an onesh. But Rabbeinu Shlomo says you don't require an ashara for that onesh. That's not an unreasonable statement.
Well, why would it go to Reuven, though? I don't understand. I mean, why would Reuven receive the money, then?
Well, I don't know. Who else are you going to make him pay
to? The court, I'm
saying. Okay. Clearly a Democrat. He wants to give more money to government. Okay. Fine. Okay. Anyway, so if he says that what it means is that losana isn't needed for an ashara for the mamon. The mamon comes if that. Why is he telling us that? Again, the problem is not lo hashem hamivili demali malkos. The problem is, what if it were the same shame? That's the question. That was the problem in Tosfos. So the answer is Shim Hayat Sarich. Read the last line.
Shim Hayat Sarich Lo Tana the Azharat Mamun as Lo Haya Loka Lav the Mechad Lav Lo Hava Anshim Lay Mamun Umakos.
So this is similar. I mean, this is almost. So you're going to ask me what exactly is the difference between 2 and 3? This is the question, and this is saying that if in fact you needed an Azhara in order to make him pay money by an Eid Zomim, so we would have said that the lav is not there for Malkus, but the lav is rather there, just like by Mises Basedin. You need a lav. The Torah says that if you do X, we kill you. The Gemara assumes there's always an Azhara somewhere. You got to find it. Thus, if Mamon required an Azhara, then Losane. It might be almost the same thing, but just from a different angle. If Mamon required an Ashara, then Losane would have been used as the Ashara for Mamon. Losane is the Ashara, Vasisam Lo is the onus that it was needed for. And here's the difference. It wouldn't matter whether those two psukim were next to one another or not. In other words, it wouldn't have been a function of that the Torah says losana, and if you violate losana, we make you pay. No, the fact is that if the mamon made them zomim and required an ashara, we would have had to use losana, even though it's found parshias away for that. But since mamon never requires an ashara, so losana is meant for malchus, according to the second Teretz and Tosfos. According to the second Teretz and Tosfos, the only way that Losane would have been potter from Malkus, according to Rabbi Meir, is had it been presented as next to the Mamon, where the Torah is saying, don't do X, and if you do X, this is the punishment we give you, namely money. They're not so far apart in terms of Rabbi Meir's general point. According to both of these terutzim, Rabbi Meir is saying that losana isn't necessary, is not in any way connected to vasisa and lokasha zamam. It's not needed as, the third teretz says it's not needed as an ashara for that, because you don't need an ashara for mamon. And the second teretz says it's not that the punishment of sisam lo is the tikkun, is what the Torah says, that if you do losana, then you get this punishment. The only way that would have happened normally, Zach, as you said, is the two had been next to one another. It's not the smichas per se, but that's normally the way it might be presented. Right? I point to Achrimus Kedoshim as examples where they're actually separate. But they really are. You know, lo yikach, avel eisha sam misa chalos yitain shachav talazara, v'isha sheyin ofes, eisha zish, mosyum asone esvena ofes. Right. So here, so Tosus, I think, is stating, I don't know if they have to be samuch mamish, but they have to be linguistically tied. Don't do X. If you do X, this is the punishment. The third Torah just says the following. Torah, if mamon required an ashara, even though the Torah doesn't say losana, and if you do losana, this is your punishment. The Torah said losana. The Torah said in a case where a person did X, Y, and Z, and remember, losana is a broader iser anyway. Losana is about all eider shekel. And the Torah then says later that the chiyakum eid chamas b'ishal anos bo sara, v'asitzem lo kasher zamam lasos lechim. So in that case, if mamon of onesh required an ashara, even though it's not a lav hanita klase, it's not that if you do A you get B, but if mamon required an ashara, the Torah said don't do X, and the Torah says when you do X you get punishment B. You know, if the Torah had not said you don't do X, you couldn't have the onesh, but since you don't need an ashara for the onesh of mamon, the lav stands independently. I'll concede one point to you, which maybe Tosus, maybe you do have to say that the only way it would be called a lav anita klase is if they were smuchim. Then it would be clear, no matter whether it does or doesn't require an ashara, the fact that they're tied, put together like that, tells you that the purpose, that the lav is immediately addressed. How do you punish this lav? With X. Whereas had they been separate, according to the third teretz, according to the second teretz, had they been separate, then you never would have said lav anita klase, whereas the third teretz would say that had they been separate or together, but not, is that if you needed an ashara for mamon, then the lav, no matter where it was, even though it's not nita klase, you would not be able to give the onesh, that you would not be, the lav would be needed for the ashara of mamon, not for the ashara of malchus. Okay, and we didn't even get to Tosis Yeshanim, which is particularly raises some very thorny issues. All right, so tomorrow what we're going to do, God willing, is we're going to review very quickly Tosos, and then we're going to move on. Okay, fine.